The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
I hope you had a good rest and that you're enjoying some beautiful spring weather here in the Northern Hemisphere. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Wednesday, May 1st, 2024, Wednesday of the fifth week of Easter. In the Missal, it's liturgical year B, cycle 2. Wednesday is a day to pray the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. And today is the optional memorial of St. Joseph the Worker. To inspire devotion to St. Joseph and in response to the May Day celebrations for workers sponsored by the Communists, Pope Pius XII instituted the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker in 1955. This feast extends the long relationship between Joseph and the cause of workers in both Catholic faith and devotion. Pope John Paul II stated, "The Church considers it her task always to call attention to the dignity and rights of those who work, to condemn situations in which that dignity and those rights are violated, and to help guide social changes so as to ensure authentic progress by man and society. St. Joseph, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Father, I dedicate this new day to you as I go about my work. I ask you to bless those with whom I come in contact. Lord, I pray for all men and women who work to earn their living. Give them satisfaction in what they do. Spirit of God, comfort the unemployed and their families. They are your children and my brothers and sisters. I ask you to help them find work soon. Amen." And we join Pope Francis in praying that religious women and men and seminarians grow in their own vocations through their human, pastoral, spiritual, and community formation, leading them to be credible witnesses to the gospel. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Jesus, I'm pretty confident that what we're going to try and meditate on today brings great joy to your heart. Because what we're meditating on today is not a what, but a who, or rather two who's. Saint Joseph, the worker, whose feast we celebrate today, and Our Lady, your mother and ours, whose month begins today, on the 1st of May. So my prayer today, Lord, my effort to pray at least, I know is very close to your heart, because it's very close to home. And indeed, that's true for all of us. Mary and Joseph are very close also to our home, because ultimately, Jesus, you are our home. Only in you does my soul find peace and fullness of life. You are my home. You are my ultimate home. You are our ultimate home. As St. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. So for us to be totally at home is to be in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, for Christ, to be Christ. So when we pray about Mary and Joseph, as we attempt to do now, we're always being pointed towards Jesus. We're always in his home. The home of Nazareth, of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, is also our home. St. Jose Maria liked to make that point. St. Jose Maria, whose very name brings together the two aspects of today's feast, Feast of St. Joseph the Worker and the month of Mary, Jose Maria, Joseph Mary. St. Jose Maria liked to say that all of us belong to the family of Nazareth. And this is true, because through the work of the Holy Spirit, we're made daughters and sons of God in Christ, and therefore we share in the life of the Holy Family. So today's feast, this month of Mary, is very close to home, not only for you, Jesus, but also for us. And that's why our prayer today is particularly joyful, particularly bright. In the Gospel of today's Mass, we hear from St. Matthew that the Lord went to his native place and taught the people in their synagogue. And interesting to see the response of the local people. They were astonished because they were so used to our Lord. They said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother named Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are not his sisters all with us? Where did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. Well, a beautiful conclusion from that reaction, Lord, is for us to realize how normal your life in Nazareth was, how natural Mary and Joseph and Jesus are, the sheer ordinariness of their life. So for the people of Nazareth, perhaps your words, your preaching was a little bit too close to home. But we can take courage from that, and we can take a great consolation from that, because it reminds us that God made man, and Mary, the Immaculate Conception, and Saint Joseph, one of the greatest saints ever, lived with great normality, with great naturalness. This helps me realize, Lord, that the ordinariness of my life is no obstacle to holiness. That in fact is precisely by imitating your hidden life, your daily round, your sometimes even monotonous routine of work and an ordinary life, that all of us can become holy, that all of us can be truly great, in the true sense of that word, great. Isn't this the paradox of the Christian life? What is great seems very small. What is earth-shattering seems so discreet. Ordinary life can be a time of extraordinary grace. Little things can be of, as it were, infinite value once they're offered in and through and with Jesus Christ. How beautiful our Christian vocation is. It's the life of family, of the family of God, and therefore what's ordinary in our lives can be, have an extraordinary value. How beautiful that is. Lord, help me to see it today with a new light through the eyes of Mary and of Joseph. We think, therefore, today on the feast of Joseph the Worker, of Joseph at his work. We know very little about the details of Joseph's work, and that's as it should be, because it's ordinary, everyday work, like most of my own work. And yet that work has a huge dignity and a huge reach. It's part of our redemption. And so too, my work in the home or in my office or wherever I am is also part of redemption. And today we think of Our Lady, who also seems so natural and is so natural and so discreet, and yet she's the highest honor of our race. It's an amazing, a beautiful paradox, so sublime and yet so near. There's some words of Pope Benedict XVI in a Marian homily where he says, "The closer a person is to God, the closer that person is to people." We see this in Mary. The fact that she is so close to God is the reason why she is so close to human beings. Mary, I know very well that there's nobody at all as close to me or to others as you are. And there Pope Benedict was putting his finger on the reason for that. The fact that Mary is so close to God is the reason why she is so close to human beings. How wonderful that is. The theologian and cardinal, Charles Journet, in a book he wrote about Our Lady, he mentions that as a young man, he was at a shrine of Our Lady, and he saw there were a lot of ex-votos around the shrine. Ex-votos being these little plaques where people write down their thanksgiving for favors received, you know, and thanksgiving for a cure, and thanksgiving for a job that was found, and the date maybe under the name of the favor, and thanksgiving for a child who was safely born, and then the date, and so on. But Charles Journet, the young Charles Journet, was very struck by one particular ex-voto plaque, which says, "I thank you, my Mother Mary, for not answering my prayer." And then it gives the date of that favor granted. And in that case, whoever it was that, you know, asked Our Lady for help realized in hindsight that it was much better that what they had asked for at the time had not been granted. But of course, Our Lady, who loves us so much and is so close to us because she's so close to God, she knows much better than we do what is good for us. And that's why that person was able to thank Our Lady for not having interceded, or for having interceded in the right direction when they were maybe interceding in the wrong direction. That's the love of a mother. That's being close to home. Our Lady is always close to us. The English poet, the convert, Jesuit priest, Gerard Manley Hopkins, he has that lovely poem, which is entitled, "The Blessed Virgin Mary Compared to the Air We Breathe." And we think about that, you know, the air we breathe, it's so discreet, it's something we don't think about, and yet it keeps us all alive. It's absolutely essential, the air we breathe. That's who you are to us, Mother. That's why you matter so much to us. Jesus, today we're all close to home, with a theme, with a liturgy that is close to our home. And you, Lord Jesus, you are our ultimate home. And we ask our Blessed Mother Mary to build up the family, the home of the Church, in charity and unity. As Pope Francis says, Our Lady keeps us rooted in the Church, where unity counts more than diversity. She encourages us to care for one another. As we begin the month of May, and as we celebrate St. Joseph the Worker, let us care for one another with the hearts of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you've communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
And there's a lot more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. This day of prayer gets underway in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Wednesday, May 1st, 2024, the optional memorial of St. Joseph the Worker, and Wednesday of the fifth week of Easter. I'm Paul Sadek, and we begin this liturgical day joining with the whole Church, led by our friends at DivineOffice.org, in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will proclaim your praise.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Come, let us sing to the Lord, and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands.
The Lord is risen.
Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Massah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works.
The Lord is risen.
40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Alleluia.
I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Alleluia.
I love you, Lord, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my Savior. My God is the rock where I take refuge, my shield, my mighty help, my stronghold. The Lord is worthy of all praise. When I call, I am saved from my foes. The waves of death rose about me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The snares of the grave entangled me. The traps of death confronted me. In my anguish, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I love you, Lord. You are my strength.
Alleluia.
The Lord has saved me. He wanted me for his own. Alleluia.
The Lord has saved me. He wanted me for his own. Alleluia.
Then the earth reeled and rocked. The mountains were shaken to their base. They reeled at his terrible anger. Smoke came forth from his nostrils, and scorching fire from his mouth. Coals were set ablaze by its heat. He lowered the heavens and came down. A black cloud under his feet. He came enthroned on the cherubim. He flew on the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his covering, the dark waters of the clouds his tent. A brightness shone out before him with hailstones and flashes of fire. The Lord thundered in the heavens. The Most High let his voice be heard. He shot his arrows, scattered the foe, flashed his lightnings and put them to flight. The bed of the ocean was revealed. The foundations of the world were laid bare at the thunder of your threat, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your anger. From on high he reached down and seized me. He drew me forth from the mighty waters. He snatched me from my powerful foe, from my enemies whose strength I could not match. They assailed me in the day of my misfortune, but the Lord was my support. He brought me forth into freedom. He saved me because he loved me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord has saved me. He wanted me for his own. Alleluia.
Lord, kindle a light for my guidance and scatter my darkness. Alleluia.
Lord, kindle a light for my guidance and scatter my darkness. Alleluia.
He rewarded me because I was just, repaid me for my hands were clean, for I have kept the way of the Lord and have not fallen away, for his judgments are all before me. I have never neglected his commands. I have always been upright before him. I have kept myself from guilt. He repaid me because I was just, and my hands were clean in his eyes. You are loving with those who love you. You show yourself perfect with the perfect. With the sincere, you show yourself sincere, but the cunning you outdo in cunning. For you save a humble people, but humble the eyes that are proud. You, O Lord, are my lamp, my God, who lightens my darkness. With you I can break through any barrier. With my God, I can scale any wall.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, our strength and salvation, put in us the flame of your love and make our love for you grow to a perfect love which reaches to our neighbor.
Lord, kindle a light for my guidance and scatter my darkness. Alleluia.
God raised up Christ from the dead. Alleluia.
So that all our faith and our hope might be in God. Alleluia.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, saw new heavens and a new earth. The former heavens and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer. I also saw a new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God, beautiful as a bride, prepared to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne cry out, "This is God's dwelling among men. He shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God, who is always with them. He shall wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, crying out, or pain. For the former world has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said to me, "See, I make all things new." Then he said, "Write these matters down, for the words are trustworthy and true." He went on to say, "These words are already fulfilled. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To anyone who thirsts, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of life-giving water. He who wins the victory shall inherit these gifts. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. As for the cowards and traitors to the faith, the depraved and the murderers, the fornicators and the sorcerers, the idol worshippers and the deceivers of every sort, their lot is the fiery pool of burning sulfur, the second death." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
See the place where God lives among men. There he will make his home among them.
And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Alleluia.
Death shall be no more. Grief, tears, and sorrow will be forgotten, for the former world has passed away.
And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Alleluia.
From a letter to Diognetus. Christians are indistinguishable from other men, either by nationality, language, or customs. They do not inhabit separate cities of their own, or speak a strange dialect, or follow some outlandish way of life. Their teaching is not based upon reveries inspired by the curiosity of man. Unlike some other people, they champion no purely human doctrine. With regard to dress, food, and manner of life in general, they follow the customs of whatever city they happen to be living in, whether it is Greek or foreign. And yet, there is something extraordinary about their lives. They live in their own countries as though they were only passing through. They play their full role as citizens, but labor under all the disabilities of aliens. Any country can be their homeland, but for them, their homeland, wherever it may be, is a foreign country. Like others, they marry and have children, but they do not expose them. They share their meals, but not their wives. They live in the flesh, but are not governed by the desires of the flesh. They pass their days upon earth, but they are citizens of heaven. Obedient to the laws, they yet live on a level that transcends the law. Christians love all men, but all men persecute them. Condemned because they are not understood, they are put to death, but raised to life again. They live in poverty, but enrich many. They are totally destitute, but possess an abundance of everything. They suffer dishonor, but that is their glory. They are defamed, but vindicated. A blessing is their answer to abuse. Deference, their response to insult. For the good they do, they receive the punishment of malefactors, but even then, they rejoice as though receiving the gift of life. They are attacked by the Jews as aliens. They are persecuted by the Greeks, yet no one can explain the reason for this hatred. To speak in general terms, we may say that the Christian is to the world what the soul is to the body. As the soul is present in every part of the body, while remaining distinct from it, so Christians are found in all the cities of the world, but cannot be identified with the world. As the visible body contains the invisible soul, so Christians are seen living in the world, but their religious life remains unseen. The body hates the soul and wars against it, not because of any injury the soul has done it, but because of the restriction the soul places on its pleasures. Similarly, the world hates the Christians not because they have done it any wrong, but because they are opposed to its enjoyments. Christians love those who hate them just as the soul loves the body and all its members despite the body's hatred. It is by the soul enclosed within the body that the body is held together. And similarly, it is by the Christians detained in the world as in a prison that the world is held together. The soul, though immortal, has a mortal dwelling place, and Christians also live for a time amidst perishable things, while awaiting the freedom from change and decay that will be theirs in heaven. As the soul benefits from the deprivation of food and drink, so Christians flourish under persecution. Such is the Christian's lofty and divinely appointed function, from which he is not permitted to excuse himself. I am the light of the world.
No one who follows me will ever walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Alleluia.
I am the source of all grace, of the way and the truth. In me rests all hope for life and for strength.
No one who follows me will ever walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Alleluia.
Father of all holiness, guide our hearts to you. Keep in the light of your truth all those you have freed from the darkness of unbelief. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
You know what happens to a branch if it falls off of a tree or a vine. Well, the Lord uses that as a basis of his teaching in today's gospel in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, the Lord once again takes a familiar image and applies it to himself and his teachings. It's from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Today is the optional memorial of St. Joseph the Worker, and the Church is calling us to remember that work is indeed a gift of God. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 6, Special Feasts. By the labor of your hands you shall eat. The Church, in presenting St. Joseph to us today as a model, is not endorsing just one particular form of work, normal labor, but is testifying to the dignity and value of all honest human occupations. In the first reading at Mass, we read the Genesis account of man's participation in the work of creation. Sacred Scripture also tells us that God placed man in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. From the beginning of man's existence, work is for him a command of nature, a feature of his condition as created being, an expression of his dignity, and a means whereby he cooperates in the great overall task of divine providence. All that original sin did was to change the form of this cooperation, as we also read in the book of Genesis. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, After the fall of our first parents, what had been intended originally as something pleasant and agreeable has since become difficult and very often exhausting. But there has been no change in the relationship of man's work to his Creator and its role in the redemption of mankind. The conditions attaching to work cause people to look upon it as a punishment, or alternatively, because of the malice of the human heart estranged from God, as a mere form of merchandise or an instrument of oppression, to such an extent that on occasion it is difficult to appreciate its very real grandeur and dignity. Others see work exclusively in terms of a means for making money or as an expression of selfish personal affirmation, and fail to realize the value of work in itself as something divine, whereby man collaborates with God and offers his Creator something in which all his natural and supernatural virtues come into play. For many centuries, menial work was looked down on as no more than a way of earning a living, and was considered to be something basically worthless or degrading. Nowadays, materialistic societies tend to classify people according to how much they make and to their ability to obtain a greater level of material well-being at more or less any cost. It is time for us Christians to shout from the rooftops that work is a gift from God and that it makes no sense to classify men differently according to their occupation, as if some jobs were nobler or of less significance than others. Work, all work, bears witness to the dignity of man, to his dominion over creation. It is an opportunity to develop one's personality. It is a bond of union with others, the way to support one's family, a means of contributing to the improvement of the society in which we live and to the progress of all humanity. Saint Joseph was a tradesman who worked for his living, and today's feast proposes him to us as a model and patron. We should have frequent recourse to him to ensure that the work we do never loses its innate dignity or value. For it is not uncommon that when God is forgotten from the factory, dead matter goes out improved, whereas the men there are corrupted and degraded. Our work, with Saint Joseph's help, ought to leave our hands as a prayerful and pleasing offering to God. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. Let's join the whole church in prayer once again as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Christians, praise the Paschal Victim, offer thankful sacrifice. Christ the Lamb has saved the sheep. Christ the Just One paid the price. Reconciling sinners to the Father.
Death and life brought with relief for this wondrous victory. The Lord of life who died reigns glorified.
O Mary, come and say what you saw at break of day.
The empty tomb of my living Christ Jesus risen and adored. Bright angels testify, shroud and grave go side by side. Yes, Christ my hope grows gloriously. He goes before you into Galilee.
Shall the goodness sing joyfully? His death is victory. Jesus, Victor King, show us mercy.
You, O Lord, are the source of life. Alleluia.
You, O Lord, are the source of life. Alleluia.
Sin speaks to the sinner in the depths of his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes.
He so flatters himself in his mind that he knows not his guilt. In his mouth are mischief and deceit. All wisdom is gone.
He plots the defeat of goodness as he lies on his bed. He has set his foot on evil ways. He clings to what is evil.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to heaven, your truth to the skies. Your justice like God's mountain, your judgments like the deep.
To both man and beast you give protection. O Lord, how precious is your love. My God, the sons of men find refuge in the shelter of your wings.
They feast on the riches of your house. They drink from the stream of your delight. In you is the source of life, and in your light we see light.
Keep on loving those who know you, doing justice for upright hearts. Let the foot of the proud not crush me, nor the hand of the wicked cast me out.
See how the evildoers fall. Flung down, they shall never arise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, you are the source of unfailing light. Give us true knowledge of your mercy, so that we may renounce our pride and be filled with the riches of your house.
You, O Lord, are the source of life. Alleluia.
You sent forth your Spirit, O Lord, and all things were created. Alleluia.
You sent forth your Spirit, O Lord, and all things were created. Alleluia.
Strike up the instruments, a song to my God with timbrels, chant to the Lord with cymbals. Sing to him a new song, exalt and acclaim his name.
A new hymn I will sing to my God. O Lord, great are you and glorious, wonderful in power and unsurpassable.
Let your every creature serve you. For you spoke, and they were made. You sent forth your Spirit, and they were created. No one can resist your word.
The mountains to their bases, and the seas are shaken. The rocks like wax melt before your glance. But to those who fear you, you are very merciful.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You sent forth your Spirit, O Lord, and all things were created. Alleluia.
God is King over all the earth. Make music for him with all your skill. Alleluia.
God is King over all the earth. Make music for him with all your skill. Alleluia.
All peoples, clap your hands. Cry to God with shouts of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, we must fear. Great King over all the earth.
He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. Our inheritance, our glory, is from him, given to Jacob out of love.
God goes up with shouts of joy. The Lord goes up with trumpet blast. Sing praise for God. Sing praise. Sing praise to our King. Sing praise.
God is King of all the earth. Sing praise with all your skill. God is King over the nations. God reigns on his holy throne.
The princes of the peoples are assembled with the people of Abraham's God. The rulers of the earth belong to God who reigns over all.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God, King of all peoples and all ages, it is your victory we celebrate as we sing with all the skill at our command. Help us always to overcome evil by good, that we may rejoice in your triumph forever.
God is king over all the earth. Make music for him with all your skill. Alleluia.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we are also to live with him. We know that Christ, once raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no power over him. His death was death to sin, once for all. His life is life for God. In the same way, you must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive for God in Christ Jesus.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
He hung upon the cross for us.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
I am the true vine. Alleluia. You are the branches. Alleluia.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our lives.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I am the true vine. Alleluia. You are the branches. Alleluia. Christ was given up for our sins and rose again to make us righteous. Let us cry out to him, saying,
Save us, Lord, by your victory.
Christ our Savior, in conquering death, you brought us joy. In rising again, you raised us up and filled us with the abundance of your gifts.
Stir up our hearts and sanctify this day through the gift of your Holy Spirit.
Save us, Lord, by your victory.
You are glorified by the angels in heaven and adored by mankind on earth. As we celebrate your resurrection,
accept our worship in spirit and in truth.
Save us, Lord, by your victory.
Lord Jesus, save us. Show your great mercy to your people as we look forward to our own resurrection.
Have mercy on us and protect us today from every evil.
Save us, Lord, by your victory.
King of glory, source of our life, when you come again,
may we be one with you in glory.
Save us, Lord, by your victory.
Now let us pray as Christ the Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
O God, restorer and lover of innocence, direct the hearts of your servants toward yourself, that those you have set free from the darkness of unbelief may never stray from the light of your truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
Morning Air is next with John and Glenn. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's do this again tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. Central or on the relevant radio app. You go out and make it a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.